This is Weekend Let's Hear It. I'm Kara Lawrence. Glad you could come along for a look at the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music. First held in 2001, the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music has a mission of serving audiences and communities of all faiths and cultures by providing opportunities to connect with each other through music. Tomorrow through Wednesday, 11 events will take place that encompass a variety of faiths and traditions. The big change this year is that the festival has gone from a biennial one to a yearly one. I spoke with Executive Director Elizabeth Start about the reasons behind the change and about all the events coming up.
One of the main things that led to this becoming annual is we would put on these nice big festivals with all these great events, and people would say to us, you know, what a great festival. I didn't get to much of it. There was so much stuff. I wish I could have gotten to more, but now I know about it. I'm coming next year. And of course, what we'd always have to tell them is, you know, I won't be there next year. It's going to be another 2 years, and by then you'll probably have forgotten about us. So we decided to become annual so that we're more in people's minds, and also so that we're offering now a shorter festival, more like the length it was when it started back in 2001, and might feel more manageable to attend more of our events and not feel like you're missing out on things.
One thing that hasn't changed is the scope. You have always been committed to bringing together music from so many different faiths and traditions around the world.
Yeah, that is really the mission of the festival, and to help us appreciate the different, in a sense, the different songs that we sing, but how they fit together in a harmony. So rather than thinking that we have to all come together and do something exactly the same and be united that way, we really want to appreciate the differences, but how it fits together in a larger harmony. We have a number of free events as well as our ticketed events. Of course, the Rose Ensemble is a ticketed event. We start on Saturday with two free events. One is Desert Dreams, which is going to be a video. I believe it was on PBS and is an award-winning video about the changing seasons in the Sonoran Desert. And Native American flutes will be played by Gary Strauss's and accompanied by Kalamazoo's own Carolyn Keeble on percussion. And so you will see the images of this from this award-winning film accompanied by the live music. And that'll be the Nature Center at 11 a.m. Friends of Gamelan will be coming over from Chicago to share a varied program of Javanese music on the Gamelan, and that's at the Kalamazoo Public Library, 2 p.m. that day. We're bringing Nefesh Mountain, which is rather interesting, sort of bluegrass Americana Jewish group.
that is interesting. I don't think I've heard of anything quite like that.
Yeah, well, they do claim that they're pioneering this genre, and I believe they're probably right. But so they do some early American hymns as well as Jewish music in roots music setting. So, and I have heard stories of how they perform down at the synagogue in St. Louis, the large synagogue down there, which is the largest synagogue west of the Mississippi, I believe, and heard raves about how wonderful they were in unplugged and full band. They will have a fiddle and bass with them, and Eric plays banjos and guitars, and Donnie sings. So it'll be
so everything from Foggy Mountain Breakdown to a klezmer, like, Hava Nagila kind of thing.
Yep, could be. I really, all I know is that I was told that they were wonderful in worship, in concert, and in workshop. So we'll
That's Nefesh see that. Mountain.
Nefesh Mountain, yeah. And they'll be at Congregation of Moses for both a family event early in the day that will just be husband and wife team, Eric and Donnie, and then the full band in the evening for a ticketed event.
Sure gets hot working under the sun, but Noah's gotta build it for the rivers come. Before they come, before they come, gotta get in the boat before it's all undone. Floating the earth all covered in blue, the rain finally ceased for this captain and crew. Two by two, two by two, stomping their feet on a land we knew.
One of the challenges we had when we decided to put a festival around October 30th is that we had October 31 as a date to put in a program. And so we decided it might be a good time to feature an organist and have a family program at 6 p.m. where we introduce the organ, have a little Phantom of the Opera and dance macabre and things like that going on as far as the music goes, and some treats. And hopefully people will take some time from their trick-or-treating to bring the kids down and come in costume. And that 6 p.m. event is free. And there is actually a trunk-or-treat right next door. If kids are afraid they're not going to get enough candy, they can get some next door right before the concert. And then we'll have a more formal organ program at 8 p.m.
What can you tell me about this young organist, Jonathan Ryan?
He has won many prizes, many competitions. He's got a number of recordings out there. Those people I know have heard him in concert say he's just really amazing, and he's very personable, though maybe it's hard to be personable at the organ. But he's a really a wonderful performer and just incredible virtuoso. You know, when I presented this idea of, gosh, we'd kind of like to have a family program at 6, I thought, you know, he might say, oh, no, no, no. But he loved the idea of doing that. And because I figured that we could do something regardless. We'd find somebody local if he wouldn't do it. But no, he was totally into it. So I think he's got to be a pretty cool guy.
So that's at First Baptist Church.
Yes. Which, by the way, he particularly requested. And I thought when he did that, he knew, you know, the organist or a former organist there. But he said, no, he had just read about the organ.
He researched the organs, yep, of
Kalamazoo. He said, I've heard about it, and I want to play on it.
Given organists I've known, that does not surprise me.
That's right. He could probably tell you what's in every single church.
They're out for a new thrill every time.
That's right.
There's a group coming in for your Tuesday evening performance that I'm very curious about. All the musicians are from Syria. What group are they?
They call themselves Dio Trio, and that is the initials of the first names of each of the performers. When we decided we were presenting the Syrian group, we thought, well, this is a really exciting thing, and we're hoping to be working through Samaritas to bring recently settled refugees there for the program as our guests. And we just decided we'd like special venue. And we were looking for something where we could maybe have a reception beforehand and have it be something unusual that maybe people would come out just because of the venue. And so, you know, the newly remodeled Heritage Hall, Old East Hall on Western's campus, we decided to give that a try, and it is working out for us. They have a large ballroom on the second floor, which is where the concert's going to be, and then we'll do the reception on the first floor, which has a nice open space and tables, and you can look out across town, of course. It's a beautiful view from up there.
So for those of us who've been listening for months and months about horrifying stories of Syrian refugees, bombings, countries coalescing and trying to solve this international crisis, you can have an up-close, intimate experience of Syrian musicians and culture.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting program they're doing. They're actually doing Orthodox Christian music, and all the way to Arab music, Muslim music. So they're doing a great mixture of things because that area you have, of course, different faiths as well. So it's a very interesting program, and these particular musicians, they range from, I believe the singer, Dima, has been in the country since 2005, I think, and she has degrees, I think, from somewhere in Boston. I forget exactly where. And I believe the oud player, Issam, is fairly recently in this country. And so we have everything from relatively established people in this country to fairly new.
Dio is the name of the group. It performs on November 1st at Heritage Hall at Western Michigan University. And we should probably mention the website.
Yes, www.mfsm.us.
And any further events this year?
Well, we like to do a Sound and Spirit, which does feature musicians from the area. And that will be our final event, which will be on November 2nd. And we'll feature, at this point, what we believe we have lined up. This is always an exciting last-minute thing. Since we're people from the area, we think, oh, well, we don't have to plan this way out in advance, and we have all these other more pressing things. But Hazel Tree, which is a sort of a roots music trio, I believe vocal and plucked instruments. And then we have Greg Secor, who's a percussionist in the Kalamazoo Symphony, and also in a duo with Judy Moonert at Western. He's doing a piece which is a very powerful piece. He did it for us back in, I think, 2007, and it's based on the Buddhist monk who self-immolated back in Vietnam in 1963, and to try and draw attention to the persecution of the monks. And that piece he will be doing as a vocal, so spoken word and percussion piece. Second Baptist Church's choir with Mark Hill directing should be probably closing the show. I haven't figured out the order yet of this. We have a woman who one of our board members met on a trip in Spain, who isn't quite from the Kalamazoo area, but a little eastern in the state, and she specializes in Jewish Ladino music. And so she's going to come and share some of that with us. We also have, and I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce it right, the Brazilian martial art mixed with dance, mixed with spirituality, Copera. There's a group up in Allendale who is coming down to give us a brief demonstration of that as well, and describe the significance and spirituality of that.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to say to people who are still getting to know the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music?
I think the main thing I would like to say is don't let sacred scare you off, because some people see that word and think, well, I go to church enough, or I don't go to church at all. But it's really not about church so much as it is about what's sacred to different people in different cultures and different faiths. So, you're not going to go to a worship service. You're going to hear some great music that has connections to heritage and traditions of different cultures.
Elizabeth Start is the executive director of the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music, which begins tomorrow and continues through Wednesday. Details are at mfsm.us. One of the festival's featured concerts tomorrow is a performance by the Friends of the Gamelan. Gamelan is a Javanese Indonesian word for ensemble. You'll hear it referred to as the Gamelan, but it's comprised of an assortment of instruments and takes a whole group of people to play. I had a chance to learn more about the Gamelan from Kitsy Emerson, who grew up on Gull Lake and was a promising young classical pianist, graduating from Western Michigan University, where her teacher was Phyllis Rappaport. Here's Kitsy Emerson.
I studied with her, and I was a very serious pianist, thinking I was going to go. I went to New York, and I was going to become a pianist, and that was what I was going to do. And I sort of hit a wall, because New York is pretty tough. and got tired of practicing in my little studio apartment and got tired of all the competition. So I just took a break. And when I was taking a break, I was trying other music. And I was actually in a master's degree program in piano performance at Queens College in New York, but they required us to take two non-Western instruments lessons. So instead of just reading about non-Western music or listening to recordings, they said, you're in New York, take lessons from somebody from that country. So I took Japanese flute lessons, I took West African drum lessons, and then I came across the Javanese gamelan. And they'd actually had a gamelan at Cornell University when I went to school, but I hadn't played it. I just walked right past it to go to the piano practice room, just right past it. And I thought, I'm going to try that. And it was at the Indonesian Consulate in New York City, but it's an all-American group, not a single Indonesian in the group. And I walked in the door in 1986, March of 1986, and in June of 86, I was in Java.
So,
and I never touched the piano again.
You fell hard.
Sorry, Phyllis. I never touched the piano again. And I really did. I fell really hard. And I came back after the summer of 86 and tried to find a way to get there permanently. And I moved there permanently in 1991.
So
I've been there for 22 years.
You're visiting Kalamazoo from Java now.
That's right. I came for a week just to visit my parents who still live here out on Gull Lake. So I'm only here for a week. I'm usually here a couple times a year to visit them, but I live there permanently. My husband is a professional drummer, gamelan drummer. So I met him. He was on a tour actually performing at the Smithsonian in Washington right before I left for Java. So I already knew I wanted to live in Java. I already had my visa. I already had my plans. I was on my way there, and I was part of this program at the Smithsonian just before I left and met this dynamic, charismatic, romantic Javanese drummer and ended up marrying him.
Are you a good gamelan player now?
You know, I've been playing for so many years now. And to be a good gamelan player, you need to be able to play all the instruments. So it's different from Western music, where you specialize more. And you should be able to move around. People expect you to get up and move around in between pieces and play different instruments. Now, I'm able to do that. You're also supposed to be able to play without notation eventually. You're supposed to be able to just go to an event with people you've never played with before, like jazz in a way, and just react to them in the moment. And you have a shared repertoire, and you react to them. And I think I'm somewhat able to do that, but in Java, I'm considered a hobbyist level. So I'm considered, I can play with not the professional groups, but the groups who are highly, highly enthusiastic and experienced, but maybe not at the radio station or at the palace.
Yes.
I wouldn't play with those groups.
I just wondered if you've invested decades of your time and love into it.
Yeah, well, I think I am maybe considered one of the more advanced foreigners, mm-hmm. but compared to the Javanese, I'm nothing.
Now, how does a gamelan ensemble fit under the umbrella of a sacred music festival?
Mm-hmm. Well, Java is extremely complex place religiously and spiritually. So, and a lot of people don't, it's surprising to me always how little people know about Indonesia in general. You know, it really, it's, North Americans in particular, and not so much Europeans, but maybe North Americans. It's so far away. It's halfway across the world, right? But it's the fourth most populous country in the world. So China, India, U.S., Indonesia, fourth most populous. Java is the most densely populated place on Earth, the island of Central Java in particular, yeah. It's also the most populous Islamic country in the world. And Sunni Islam, most populous Sunni Islam. So all these things that you would think would draw a lot of attention today, people still really don't know about Indonesia. And that's because Indonesians have a very low profile. They're very flexible and tolerant and syncretic with their religion. So it started out as an animist tradition in the first, second, third, fourth centuries. Spirits in the trees, in a well, in a mountain, in a volcano, in a rock, and ancestor worship. And then Hinduism came into Java, and then Buddhism came into Java. But each time something came in, they melded it in and made this syncretic Javanese religion. So people in Java still today talk about Kejawen, is a lot of people's religion. Javanese-ness is their religion. So if I ask my husband what his religion is, he'll say Kejawen. And that means I'm a little bit animist. I have Buddhism and Hinduism in me, a little bit of Islam, and a little bit of Christianity. And it's interesting because Hinduism came in, then Buddhism, then Islam came in the 12th century, and then Christianity with colonialists. It was colonized by the Portuguese for a short time, and then the Dutch for hundreds of years, and then by the Japanese during World War II, and then became independent. And the only religion that it really hasn't melded in, not the only religion, but the only major religion would be Judaism, probably a little bit of a political situation with the strength of Islam there. So, but the Islam that's there is melded in with Hindu-Buddhist. So with Gamelan, you will have somebody who says they're Islamic. They are Islamic. They're playing gamelan. They're fasting, fasting month, go to the mosque five times a day. But they give an offering to the gong before they play. Or they have a special tree in their village that they feel it's important to give offerings to every Thursday night.
So the music itself has a spiritual meaning or sense, or is used for...
It has a spiritual sense to it. People feel like the gamelan itself, the instruments itself, need to have offerings, and there's certain superstitions about the sacredness of the instruments. You're not supposed to step over them. They're different offerings, again, that you're supposed to give. The music itself has been used in mosques, it's been used in Buddhist temples, and it's been used in Hindu communities, and it's definitely used in the animist spiritual ancestor worship world to give thanks, do blessing ceremonies, village cleansing ceremonies. This month in Java is a special month. It's the lunar month that belongs to the goddess of the South Seas. And the goddess of the South Seas wants gamelan to be played for her, and she has special gamelan instruments that emanate from various volcanoes and mountains and that play special pieces for her. So that's all very sort of animist. And you'll have very people who will say that they're very strictly Islamic in their lives, really feeling that's an important event to attend.
At the library at 2 o'clock on the 29th, we have Friends of the Gamelan. This is a Chicago-based ensemble and very likely filled with people much like you.
Yes.
Do you know about this group in particular?
Yes, I've played with them a few times and got in preparation for the Kalamazoo tour in 2006. What's unusual about this group, I think, is they reach out to a lot of different teachers. So there's a Javanese teacher in Minneapolis that comes down and teaches them sometimes. There's a Javanese teacher, Widianto, in San Francisco at Berkeley, who comes and teaches them. There's a performer in Wesleyan, Harjito, and a theorist at Wesleyan, Sumarsam, who come and and play with them. So being in the Midwest, they reach north and east and west, and they bring all the Javanese teachers, and they've had a lot of different teachers coming and have gained different things from every teacher.
Will this be a good way for the uninitiated to learn and maybe fall in love with gamelan music?
I think so, for sure, because I'm looking at their program and I'm seeing that it's quite varied. So they have some loud, what we call loud style music, which is used for processions of the king, and he might be carrying his regalia, or some, he's not carrying it, but his attendants are carrying his regalia somewhere. So they're playing some of those loud pieces. They're playing a dance piece, and they're playing some of the one piece that's for accompanying the wayang, and they're playing some of the concert music. So there's a lot of variety there.
Well, Kitsy, thank you very much for coming in to talk about.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
The Friends of the Gamelan perform on Saturday at 2 p.m. at the Kalamazoo Public Library. It's a free performance at the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music. I spoke to Kitsy Emerson, who changed her life for love of the gamelan. If you look at the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music schedule, you will see that the Rose Ensemble appears on Sunday at 2 o'clock in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. They're one of the foremost early music ensembles in the world, currently touring a program called Land of Three Faiths, focusing on ancient music of Mediterranean Jews, Muslims, and Christians. We'll end this edition of Weekend Let's Hear It listening to the Rose Ensemble singing music of the Catholic Church in Spain. I'm Cara Lawrence. Thanks for tuning in, and have a wonderful weekend.